Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the April 14th, 2025 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. First thing I'll do today is call for the approval of the March 10th, 2025 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
I move approval.
Do I have a second? Molly, is that a second? Okay, excellent. Then we will move on to agenda item number one. This is the Landmarks public comment period. This is the part of our agenda in which we request the public comment on something that is not on our agenda. Seeing none registered for that item, I will move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code.
I have a declaration. I should recuse myself from my agenda item number 2, 838 Williamson Street, for the alternative design variance. I designed the building that they're going to do a variance in. So that's the reason.
Anybody? Okay. Otherwise, Lauren, I believe I forgot to hand it over to you to do our processes and procedures. So I'm going to hand it over to you, and then I will move on to our consent agenda.
Sounds good. All right, Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Lauren, sorry about that. And then it is the practice of the Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow applicants and registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation. And then that agenda item is placed back on the agenda and reviewed as part of our regular course of business. The following are proposed for the consent agenda. And this, sorry, I got to flip. Agenda item number 4, Legistar File 87837, 1344 East Washington Avenue. Do any commissioners request separation of a project? Whoops, we don't have that. Never mind. Do I have a motion on the consent agenda?
I move approval.
I'll second.
Thank you. I will assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise. Seeing none, we will move on back to agenda item number 2. This is Legistar File 87535, 838 Williamson Street, alternative design variants and exterior alterations in the Third Lake Ridge Historic District. Heather.
Okay. Okay, normally at this point, I say here's a relatively recent Google Street View, but if you do Google Street View, this is not what you're going to see. This was a recently approved infill construction for what was the Strzok and Irwin site. And so here is a view of the property, really looking at the area of the new building and site in question. So the proposed work is new sign and then lighting associated with that sign, replace the storefront windows for this particular business, and construct an outside seating area. There is no precedent for the style of seating area proposed, particularly up at the front of a property, but they are seeking an alternative design variance for meeting the intent of the historic district standards and looking at the materials, but that there's no precedent for this particular type of site feature. But this is a unique type of infill property. So history of the property, it's new construction. This was the Strzok and Irwin business. And so there is a previous industrial type use and heritage of this particular site. So here we have the elevations as were approved by the Landmarks Commission. And then we're looking at existing conditions. As part of the approval process, there was some administrative approvals for reworking the design of the site. And part of it was originally parking had come all the way up essentially to the sidewalk. Some of the stalls were removed, and there was an outdoor pad that was created, and we approved this to be a seating area. And what is coming in now is to, instead of just having a place where they put out tables and chairs, to make a permanent site feature that would serve this purpose. So for that, looking at, let's deal with the design variance first. The design variance is tied with the certificate of appropriateness for the alterations to the site, specifically related to the new outdoor seating feature. So one of the approvals you have to do is, well, you can approve everything all at once, but the approval of the variance is tied to the approval for the certificate of appropriateness related to the site feature. Otherwise, the standards are met without a need for a variance for the signage and the new lighting and the changing out of the awnings that were previously approved. The lighting that is here, you see it's very an industrial style of lighting. That would be in the seating area would not be appropriate for the building or a building in the historic district. But out on the site, that is something that would be in keeping with the character of this property and with other properties, particularly in this quarter where we have former like vehicle repair shops and stuff that were happening further in the back. And this type of lighting would show up outside, not on a building. So this style of lighting we see up underneath the shade structures, and we have a similar style of light here in the seating areas. Now, for the part that is just for alterations, so the signage would go up here in the area that was designated as a sign band. The existing lighting that was just directed down onto the awnings would be changed out for these gooseneck style lighting that would shine on the sign. For applicable standards, we're dealing with standards for signs, the standards for variances, specifically the alternative design variance, and standards for alterations. There's more detailed discussion of compliance with the standards in the staff report. So with that, they've provided a great deal of detail. I don't have any conditions of approval. I've been working with the business for quite a while now on getting to a point where this is an approvable project. So staff recommends granting a certificate of appropriateness for the project as proposed.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Heather before I move on to applicants? Okay, hearing none, we have five people registered in support available to answer questions. Tyler Krupp. Tyler, do you have anything to add to Heather? He's on. Nope. Okay. Joe Maletta. Oh, I see he's on. Joe, do you have anything to add to Heather? He's also actually registered twice, so there's only four people.
Nope, Heather did a great job.
Excellent. And then I have a Chris Socha and Sean Phelan. I don't know if either of you have anything to add. It looks like you're all with the project team.
Nothing to add other than thank you for letting us present. this project to the city of Madison.
Thank you. Then I'm looking for anyone who has any questions for Heather, discussion and or a motion.
Nobody has any questions. I'll move approval. It's pretty straightforward.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. I am going to assume unanimous consent, noting that this is the project that Jacob recused himself for, correct? I'm remembering that correctly. My brain's not going already.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, everyone, for attending for this project. And we will move on to agenda item number 3. This is Legistar File 87629-2100 Bascom Street, addition and exterior alterations in the University Heights Historic District. Heather.
Okay, so up on the screen, we do have a relatively recent Google Street View. Unfortunately, Google went by at a time of day where it did not provide a very good view of the building, but we've got some better pictures here in the rest of the presentation. So the proposed work, repairs to the exterior, alterations to some of the window openings on the existing building, and a rear addition, which is a very short way of talking about a lot's going to be happening on the back of this property. So for history of the property, this was constructed in 1924. It's English Revival style. The theme of this particular building is symmetry. There's, as we saw from that front view, there's a lot of symmetry going on with this building. It was designed by James R. Law and Edward Law, one of the early law and laws. So here we have the front of the building. There are no proposed changes to the front, although the letter of intent did talk about a need for stucco repair, so I'm assuming that that is some is what will be happening on the front of the building. This is the backside, and this is where we're seeing a lot of stuff change. So the former garage area is going to be, the opening will remain, but it's going to be infilled with doors that are of, the individual doors in and of themselves are of a size and a lighting style that is in keeping with the architectural character of the building. They are proposing to change out the siding as part of adding in the addition here on the backside. This is in no way visible from the developed public right-of-way. Going in with a siding style that will be in keeping with the character of the shingle siding that is found on the upper story of the rest of the building. We see in terms of breaking up the overall massing, they are doing a belt band in between the stories, and that does help separate the portions, whereas the historic portion of the building, the separation is that there's stucco down on the base level and then the shingle siding up top. Otherwise, we're talking about the same style of shingles that are on the roof. Similar style of window openings coming into these different areas and styles of windows. On the sides is where the points were. I had some questions. Again, going with one of the themes of the particular of this particular building is the symmetry. So the letter of intent talks about wanting to change some of the window openings on the historic resource in order to match the windows on the addition. And my discussion in the staff report is that the standards are set up for it to go the other way, that the style of the window openings on the historic resource are really driving the both the size and then the rhythm of the window openings on the addition. So for the what is shown as the right side elevation, I went ahead and circled the two windows in question. And you can see from the picture for the upper level that you have these two windows that are, again, we're doing strong symmetry. They are of the same size and configuration, and they are paired together on that side. It needs to stay that way. So for the third window, which we can't see behind the hedge, I'm assuming that it is of a similar configuration to the other two. We need to keep these configurations on the building. And if we're talking about wanting to change up window styles, then we need to look at changing them up on the addition as opposed to the other way around. So on the left side, we have a metal roof for the awning area that goes over the garage. The style of garage door is one that we would find typically in the district and is of a style that the Landmarks Commission has approved previously. There is one change in an opening over on this side, and you can't see it from the picture provided by the applicant. And from looking at a Google Street View, you can see you can't see it there either. The standard talks about that you can't alter window openings that are visible from the developed public right of way. So in the staff report, I talk about this as minimally, if at all. I don't think this is visible. In addition to it being set further back, it is behind the projecting chimney. I don't think you're seeing this window that is being converted into a doorway. For standards for alterations, they are talking about for creating this balconette with a simple railing that does meet the design standards. So my recommendation for this particular alteration is that it is in keeping with the design standards. Otherwise, the style of materials, the siting of the addition, all of that appears to meet the standards of approval. My quibble was with the two altered windows that we're seeing over on this side of the building, which again are visible from the developed public right of way. So, having said that, there's still, while there's lots of materials in this submittal, there are some final specifications that I need in order to make sure that this is indeed meeting the standards of approval. So, if we get down to, well, we have standards for alterations to the existing historic resource, and standards for additions. There's more detail of discussion about compliance with those standards in the staff report. But for the staff recommendation, I think the standards of for granting a certificate of appropriateness could be met, and recommends the Landmarks Commission approve the project with the following conditions: retain the historic window openings rather than reconfigure as proposed, with the exception of that window that is being converted to a door. I think that does meet the standards. Again, this is minimally visible, if at all visible, and I think it is likely not visible from the developed public right of way. And for the windows, if they need to be replaced, they need to meet the standards for replacement. And submit final specifications for windows. We need to make sure that they have the exterior muntins and mullions, if they're either a true divided light or a simulated divided light with a spacer bar. Final specifications for the balconette railing. We've got a drawing, but I don't actually know what the material is. Specifications for the type of stucco. There's no details about the type of venting. Are we talking about a low ridge roof vent? Are we talking about venting in the eaves? What are we talking about? Or sorry, in the soffits. And any exterior lighting, there's no information here on any exterior lighting. There might not be, but if there is, we need to have that. It can come in as part of this submittal, or it can come in as part of a future submittal that could then be administratively approved by staff. So that's what I've got.
Can the two windows
Register?
they want to change be seen by the public?
Yes, I can go back to that picture because you can.
Could you please?
Yes, absolutely.
Because the one car garage is back. Okay, there it is.
You're welcome.
Quick question, Heather.
Yes.
The opposite side of the house from this, the one that has the balconette, which we're saying is, not
So let me get
visible.
over here.
It's not
Yes.
visible because of the current landscaping.
That is true. That is
If the
true.
current landscaping were to change, if the pine tree came down, or if future homeowners decided to change that landscaping, I think it would be visible.
I think you're correct.
In terms of what is visible, that I think it could still be argued that it might be visible.
Was Katie, was the applicant gonna, was there anybody registered in support to speak and
With We're good with Heather. I can move on to the applicant. Okay, then we have Matt Eaton, registered in support, available to answer questions. Matt?
Katie, would you mind opening the public hearing first before we let Matt speak?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to open this public hearing and then I'm going to hand it over to Matt. Matt, you can go ahead.
All right, thank you. On the left side elevation, the door and the balconette in question is actually existing. It's there now.
Yeah.
And then the two windows on the other side, I think, I know the plan, the floor plan a little bit better. The small window on the second story, that's a different size that goes in a shower. And I think we might have the wrong window circled on there for the main floor. I think it's actually not the one in the stucco that is not going to be replaced. It's the one to the right of it.
And Matt, what's your thoughts on staff recommendation of you catering the windows to look like your new extension windows to look like the original home versus the other way around?
Yeah, the one on the second story, the small one that circled in red, that one, like I said, is in a shower. Due to the design of the home, there's not a lot we can do there. I mean, we can make it bigger if that's what's required. I'm sure we can do that. And then the one that the cursor was on there, the lower window, that one, I believe, is existing, and it's the one to the right of that.
So, Matt, on your plans, so I've got two windows circled, and they are both labeled on your plans as saying new window.
Yeah, I think that, I apologize, that bottom one might be resized. So I think that's why, yeah, that one's probably getting replaced because it's resized. So that is correct. Those two are both correct.
And just to be clear, you're fine working with staff on their recommendations that you saw she put up.
Yeah, well, we're happy to work with staff any way they need.
Thank you.
I'll wait till we're done with the public hearing, then I'll make my comments.
There's no other question.
So are we moving on to?
So we can move on to discussion and or a motion.
Okay. I did have originally had an issue with the head height of that one window, but if you look at the images from the Wisconsin Historical Society, that window is original and is at that height. So, and we actually have these drawings in our archive too. So that window is there. So I'm not going to make a comment on something that is original to the house. For the window on the second floor, though, we often see these, you know, issues with windows and changing windows and changing orientations, locations, sizes of windows. And I would push back against that window and say that it should not be changed. And it sounds from the applicant like that is something that could possibly worked out as well. With the Juliet balcony on the other side, I don't see any images from the Historical Society or any others that have it, but I believe him. So if it's already there, then I don't have a problem with that either. And then the stuff around the back, as Heather pointed out, it's not in the developed public right away. So it's really kind of not in our purview. I think it's going to be a difficult technical transition to go from that stucco into the siding. But I also trust that Heather and her staff will be able to work out that technical issue, along with the venting and replacement of any windows. So those are my comments. My one thing I don't like is changing the window on the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jacob. I did look at the pictures and totally missed that window in the stucco. But yes, I was also looking, what I was looking for in the pictures from the Historical Society was to see if that balconette was there.
Yeah, I can't find that either. I haven't looked at the drawings in our archive, but as I said, I'm sure it's there. I have no reason not to to trust that's the case.
Otherwise, we're looking for a motion.
If no one else is going to comment, I will make a motion. And I will make the motion to approve as noted with the conditions that the second floor window not be changed and that all the rest of the details with windows and venting have to be verified and approved by the staff of the Landmarks Commission. Anybody want a second or not?
A second.
Assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise by hands, digital or real. Seeing none, thank you, and please continue to work with staff on those specifications. Okay, an agenda item 4 is complete, so we will move on to agenda item number 5, demolition historic value report review. Okay. Sorry, Heather.
Okay, so we're not actually looking at this. This was going to be our very first review using the new standards, but we had two Winona Ways come in at the same time, and I did not recommend the right one to be placed on the agenda. So after this meeting, Lauren is going to send out a doodle poll to see if we can get a quorum of folks to do a special meeting in the next 2 weeks to do the demolition review for the other Winona Way. Otherwise, the previous Winona Way that we looked at last time has decided to not do the new process, but continue with the previous demolition process. And so they will be going to Plan Commission, was it on the 23rd, I think? 20 something. So the new demolition process is in place. For talking through the way that you will see these, the staff report that is there would be how we would do it for properties in the future. We are going to create, we'll no longer have just a demolition Legistar file. Each of these will have its own individual Legistar file. And for the ones that would be referred to Plan Commission, then that same Legistar file will follow on to Plan Commission. Otherwise, the vast majority of the properties that come in for historic value review to Landmarks Commission are a finding of no known historic value. And that will then close out that file. It will go into an internal administrative process for review and approval for the demolitions. Maurice.
Just want to be clear, I know we discussed it at maybe not the last meeting, but the one before. So after this new process, once they come in and we determine what historic value they have, that's it? They demo from there, or they can still
yes and
go
no.
along to the plan? Go ahead, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. So the ones that Landmarks Commission finds there's no known historic value, then that will proceed for an administrative process. Then that's it. It will go through just the normal, like they need to plug their sewer, they need to, you know, file their recycling plan, all of the administrative stuff that you have to do when you're doing a demo. That will just proceed. So that greatly shortens the timeline for most of the applicants for doing a demolition. For the ones where Landmarks Commission finds some type of historic value, that will then go on to the Plan Commission, just as it all of the projects used to do. And Plan Commission will take into consideration the historic value as part of their review and approval of the demolition.
Okay. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome. So email coming your way. Sorry for the scheduling snafu. I don't make a lot of these, so hopefully it won't happen again.
And then we'll have the Charmer ring, which is 1, 2, and 3, or A, B, and C.
Yes, yeah, the other thing will be, and that's part of, so that's going to be there in the presentations. Our A, B, and C, remember, are flipped. So the B is the same, but this will now be, A will be a finding of historic value, and C will be a finding of no known historic values. I know,
It's not gonna work.
I know, it's crazy. We've been doing it this way for what, over a
I'm sure
decade.
by the fourth or fifth meeting we'll get
But
the
as you've seen with our previous, like where we have the standard set of motions up on the screen, they will be there. And we will also formally make it as part of our motion that you will say, I am making a finding of a historic value. So there's no question about is this an A or is it a B? That will be part of your motion. And so it will clarify like which level of historic value you are recommending so that there's no room for misunderstanding. Trying to be effective in our communication.
Sounds good.
Oh, Chair,
Agenda
you are
item
cut.
number.
Oh, you are cutting out.
We will move into agenda item number 6. This is Legistar file 86033. That's the secretary's report. Heather.
Yep, that's me again. Sorry. So first reminder that our next meeting is our special meeting where we are meeting in person. This is a policy meeting. We are mostly going to be talking about this is our 5-year check-in on the preservation plan, which we adopted in 2020, right in the middle of all the fun. But just to check in on the what are the things that we've accomplished so far? What are the things that we really want to prioritize in the next 5 years before we come around and do another preservation plan? In 5 years after this, we are also talking about with this being coming into peak construction season, we are getting a lot of folks wanting to replace windows. For all that we have our updated window standards and process, there are still a lot of people that are wanting to do types of windows that are newer on the market that Mary Rose and I are looking at where people are bringing in samples and we are evaluating them based on what we think are meeting the standards of approval. But again, there have been a lot of new materials out on the market. So I am reaching out to Windows folks to see if they can bring by samples and we can, since we will all be there, then everybody can take a look at Windows samples and we can talk about it. It's been a while since we did in-person meetings where we can all look at material samples and talk about is this really meeting the intent of the standards or not? So expect to see Windows stuff. If you have other suggestions for things that you would like to talk about at the policy meeting, please feel free to send those suggestions my way. The other item there is the Planning Division annual report. So both a longer and a shorter version of the Landmarks Commission annual report that we did last time. So you have a shortened up version of the work of the Landmarks Commission, but you have the work of the Landmarks Commission in the context of everything else that is happening in planning. And if you haven't had the time to read through the report, I really encourage you to do so. There is a lot going on in the city. There's a lot going on in like all of the city departments, but I think it's fascinating to see all of the different things that are happening within the Planning Division and the role that you are playing in the overall work of what the city is doing. And that's all I've got. Maurice.
Are the new materials for windows you're seeing a spot match for the homes in the areas that we're discussing?
Yeah, we'll talk about that more at the May meeting. It's coming down to we have shifted to approving some vinyl products for railings and decking, but we still aren't seeing windows products that aren't obviously plastic. And as we've seen from working with folks in the neighborhoods, it doesn't take an expert to be able to spot a vinyl window. Folks look at that and they say, that is plastic. So at some point, we're going to get to a point where we are going to see a vinyl window product that adequately replicates wood. I don't think we're there yet. There are some newer composites out that we have been approving because you would be hard pressed to go, you have to go up and physically touch it in order for you to be able to say like, okay, yes, no, that's not wood. So while we've been working with contractors and applicants to be provide them feedback on our analysis, it's been a while since we've done a check-in on windows, and I think it's time for us to circle back, have a Landmarks Commission look at the products, and then we can say this isn't just staff going off on our own of our own interpretations, that this is something we have gone back, done our due diligence, and we have checked in with the Landmarks Commission to make sure that we are doing these approvals and providing this direction based upon your guidance.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Katie, I see your lips moving, but we can't hear you.
Why?
Oh, there we go.
Don't know why. Okay. Excellent. I don't know if anyone else has any other questions for Heather. If not, I do want to take this opportunity to thank Alder Burris for sitting on the commission with us this past year, year and a half. I apologize. It's been excellent working with you. And I was sorry to see that you lost your election, but I am hoping for the best. And I just want to say thank you for being on the commission and sharing your expertise with us. We really appreciated having you here.
Yeah,
We'll miss you.
well, my friends are saying when I say I lost, they say congratulations. So thank you guys. I've learned a lot about historic preservation. I love it. And yeah, equally so. It's like I love my committees. Not always city council, but I love the committees. And to get you don't get to know you guys until like a year into it. So all right.
Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Small, big town, so I'm sure we'll run into each other. Okay, and with that, I am looking for a motion for dismissal.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, everyone. Have a
Thanks,
lovely April.
guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.